सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Creation, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev in Presence of Lord Sri Krishna, Text Number 43. Suta Uvacha, Krishna Evam Bhagavati, Mano Vatrishti Vritti Ve, आत्मन्यात्मानमावेश्य सोमतः श्वास उपारमा कृष्ण एव भगवती मनोवाक्दृष्टिवृत्तिभिः आत्मन्यात्मानमावेश्य सोमतः श्वास उपारमा कृष्ण एव भगवती मनोवाक्दृष्टिवृत्तिभिः आत्मन्यात्मानमावेश्य सोमतः श्वासोपारमा। Translation. Suta Goswami said, thus Bhishma Dev merged himself in the super soul, Lord Sri Krishna. the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his mind, speech, sight, and actions, and thus he became silent and his breathing stopped. Translation, please repeat. Suta Goswami says,
thus
Bhishma Dev merged himself
in
the Super Soul,
Lord Sri Krishna,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his mind, speech, sight,
and
actions.
And
thus he became
silent,
and his breathing stopped.
Purport.
The stage attained by Bhishma Dev while quitting his material body is called Nirvikal Samadhi, because he merged his self into thinking of the Lord and his mind into remembering his different activities. He chanted the glories of the Lord, and by his sight he began to see the Lord personally present before him, and thus all his activities became concentrated upon the Lord without deviation. This is the highest stage of perfection, and it is possible for everyone to attain this stage by practice of devotional service. The devotional service of the Lord consists of 9 processes of service activities, and they are 1. Hearing, 2. Chanting, 3. Remembering, 4. Serving the lotus feet, 5. Worshipping, 6. Praying, 7. Executing the orders, 8. Fraternizing, and 9. Fully surrendering. Any one of them or all of them are equally competent to award the desired result, but they require to be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee of the Lord. The first item, hearing, is the most important item of all, and therefore hearing of Bhagavad Gita and later on Srimad Bhagavatam is essential for serious candidate who wants to attain the stage of Bhishma Dev at the end. The unique situation at Bhishma Dev's time of death can be attained even though Lord Krishna may not be personally present. His words of the Bhagavad Gita or those of Srimad Bhagavatam are identical with the Lord. They are sound incarnations of the Lord, and one can fully utilize them to be entitled to attain the stage of Sri Bhishma Dev, who was one of the 8 Vasus. Every man or animal must die at a certain stage of life, but one who dies like Bhishma Dev attains perfection, and one who dies forced by the laws of nature dies like an animal. That is the difference between a man and an animal. The human form of life is especially meant for dying like Bhishma Dev. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Kuruti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here in today's verse, we see the last breath has been taken by Bhishma Dev. So he, Suta Goswami, is explaining that how he just stopped breathing. So he had this boon of Swachanda Mrityu, or he had a choice when to leave the body. And that benediction that benediction was given by his father Shantanu. So his father Shantanu had begotten few children through Ganga Devi. And it is said there were 8 Vasus, and Bhishma Dev was the leader in previous lives. Bhishma Dev was the head of those Vasus. His name was Dyau. So they were cursed by Vasishtha Muni to take birth in the middle planet, that is Earth. So from heavenly planets they had to come down. But they were also given on a condition that they can actually come back very quickly. So these 7 children were born, and Ganga Devi used to put them one by one into Ganges water, and they used to die and basically go back to heavenly planets. So their stay on Earth was very short. But the 8th Vasu, who was Dyau, he came as Bhishma Dev. At that, previously his name was Devavrata. And when he took this vow of lifelong brahmacharya, his name became Bhishma. Demigod said Bhishma, like that. So he took the Bhishma Pratigya, this vow. So he stayed little longer on Earth. So when all the other 7 Vasus went back, they gave their strength to Bhishma Dev. That's why he was like an invincible warrior. He was so strong, no one could defeat him on the whole planet Earth. So that's his story from previous life. But we see here that he is also a Mahajan. He is a pure devotee of Lord. So that's why this example is given here, that how he lived and how he passed away. So here Prabhupada says we should follow this example. And the last line of Prabhupada, he says, the human form of life is especially meant for dying like Bhishma Dev. It's an interesting statement. So that's the difference between animal and human being. Human being means self-realization. We are supposed to realize who is God, who is Krishna, and what's our relation with Him. Otherwise, if we just do the bare minimum to maintain the body, we just concentrate on maintaining the body without any self-realization, then it's animal life. It's called Dvipada Pashu. Someone may look like human being, but his activities and his consciousness is that of an animal. So one who has gotten this human form of human form, he has to endeavor to go back to Godhead. But if one chooses that, no, okay, I'll just stick to these activities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, then it's a life of ignorance, and it's same as a life of an animal. So if one chooses to live like an animal, so he cannot choose a glorious death. So if someone chooses to live like an animal, he has to die like an animal. And here we see Bhishma Dev. So what's the difference between the death of an animal or the death of a devotee? The difference is animal lives in ignorance and he dies in ignorance, in fear. So the example is given of the cat when he is about to catch the mouse. So the mouse is very fearful. Oh, what's going to happen? He sees the jaws of cat and he's very frightened. Will the cat tear me from here or there? So he's frightened. So that's death of an animal, because he's ignorant that he is not the body, he cannot die. So that's why he is fearful. And the devotee, he lives a life of knowledge in full consciousness, and he lives in full consciousness. He is not bewildered. So he sees Krishna. So antkale cha mameva smaran muktva kalebram viha prayati samadbhavam yati na tyastra samshayah. So one who remembers me at the time of death, he attains me. So like that. So Krishna promises this. So we may have different bodily pains and mental anxieties at the time of death, but Krishna sees our track record that, oh, this is my devotee. So he forces himself into devotee's consciousness, and devotee is in full consciousness. So here Bhishma Dev just left at his own will. Actually, yesterday a devotee was telling me an example. There is one devotee in Vrindavan. His father was a disciple of His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj. So, and his son is also a devotee now. So his father said, I'm going to pass away. So he pretty much left like, at his will. So he sat down, he was chanting, and he told his son, now I'm going to go. And he put his head on the lap of his son and he left like that. So devotees actually can live like this in full consciousness. So we have to choose this process of bhakti very nicely, and we have to call out for Krishna. So then Krishna will be with us. So it doesn't matter where we come from in past, what we have done. What matters is now that we have this opportunity, if we are surrendering to Krishna now or no. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, when in 6th canto there is the pastime of deliverance of Ajamil by the Vishnu Dutas, there is a very nice verse there which says, Nyam Vyaharanam Vishnu Yatas Tad Vishayamati. Means, there, here Krishna is saying, simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. So Krishna is actually very attentive. So here's it. When we chant the holy name, it attracts the attention of Krishna. So God is present, Krishna is present everywhere. But when we call him, so he becomes more attentive, like that. So I may be present here, but if someone calls me by my name, so I will be more attentive if I'm not spaced out. I would see, oh, Bhakti Sada, so yes, like that. We call Prabhu. So one is present there, but when you call out, then you say, you become attentive. So same is with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is also a person. When we call Hare Krishna, so Radha and Krishna, they become attentive, and like that. So here it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, one who chants my name, Krishna thinks that now it's my duty to protect my devotee. So like that. So at the time of death, Krishna comes. So in case of Bhishma Dev, we see that Krishna was personally present, and here Prabhupada says, it doesn't matter. Even if Krishna is not personally present, his words are there, Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Like for devotees, at the last time when they are about to leave body, they are surrounded by devotees, they are chanting Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they are chanting Hare Krishna, like that. So Krishna is present there. So we have this verse in when we sing in the morning, Gurvashtak, Mangalati prayers. So we have Sri Radhika Madhavyo Rapara ಮಾಧುರ್ಯ ಲೀಲಾ ಗುಣರೂಪನಾಮ ಪ್ರತಿಕ್ಷಣ ಸ್ವಾದನ ಲೋಲುಪಾಸ್ಯ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ. ಸೊ ದೀಸ್ 8 ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಟೆಲಿಂಗ್ ದ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಗುರು, ಅ ಬೋನಫೈಡ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಆಫರಿಂಗ್ ಅವರ್ ಒಬೆಸೆನ್ಸಿಸ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಸೋಲ್, ದ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೇಸ್ ಅ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯ ಲೀಲಾ ಗುಣ ರೂಪನಾಮ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರೂಫ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ. ಸೊ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದೀಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್, ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ರೈಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪರ್ಪೋ ಹೌ ಭೀಷ್ಮದೇವ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಎಕ್ಸೆಂಪ್ಲಿಫೈಸ್ ದಿಸ್. ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಮಹಾಜನ್, ಮಹಾಜನ್ ಏನ್ ಗತಾಸ ಪಂಥ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಫಾಲೋ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ಮಹಾಜನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಹೇರ್ ಭೀಷ್ಮದೇವ್ ಆಸ್ ಅ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್, ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ, ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಈ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್. ಹೀ ಚಾಂಟೆಡ್ ದ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಸೈಡ್ ಹೀ ಬಿಗ್ಯಾನ್ ಟು ಸೀ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಹೀ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ರೂಪ. ಈಸ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಸೊ ಹಿಸ್ ನೇಮ್ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್. And thus all his activities became concentrated upon the Lord. And in previous verses, in Bhishma Dev's prayers, he is chanting about the Leela, the activities. Dalita Gati Vilasa Valguhasa. So he says, you know, let my mind be attached to Krishna, who's, you know, this smile and glances attract the gopis. So he's remembering all these activities of Krishna. So he is proving it. Madhurya Leela Guna Rupa Namna. So Leela Guna Rupa Nam. So he is engaged in all these things. Like that. So when we chant holy name, it is said like, okay, when we chant, everything is there in the holy name. Okay. So how is that? That everything is, the holy name is Krishna. And Krishna is absolute, so his guna, rupa, leela, naam, everything is absolute. It's all one, in one package. So, how is it? So there is in first canto, saying that we are reading in, Narad Muni actually says in fifth chapter, Iti murti abhidhanena mantra murti ma murti kam yajate yagya purusham sa samyak darshana puman. So one, actually, the real seer, actually, he sees mantra murti. So murti actually, in purport, Prabhupada writes, murti means, it has two meanings. One meaning is the form, you know, Sachidanand Vigraha or murti is means the form, and it also means difficulty. So here it says mantra murtikam. Mantra murtim a murtikam. So amurtikam means he has no material form, and it also means that we can actually attain him without difficulty. So when we chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so Krishna, that's Krishna. So his name and Krishna himself, they are not different. Nam Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Abhinnatvam Nam Namino. So the person whose name is Krishna and the name, they are not different. So that's the thing. So when we are chanting the holy name, Krishna is present there. So we have to feel his presence. That's what Sankarshan Adhikari Prabhu, when he was here, so he said, he read that letter of Prabhupada. So he was advising one devotee, his disciple, that when many devotees asked Prabhupada how to chant, so he said, when you chant, you feel the presence of Krishna. So when you're chanting, you're calling out to Krishna, and he becomes attentive. So we should become also attentive to what we are chanting. So this is the example shown by Bhishma Dev. And anything that relates to Krishna is Krishna. His paraphernalia, his dham. So when we go to the holy dhams, sometimes people go there, it just looks like another place, you know. So So we have to have right consciousness, and through the eyes of a devotee we must see those places. If we go on our own, visit various kundas, we may not be able to appreciate. And actually Narottam Das Thakur, one of our acharya, he says one should not go to these in Kali Yuga, don't go, better not go to these holy dhams. Why? Because if we go with our blunt vision, what we will see is we will see that, oh, it's dirty, you know, so much in this dham, so much garbage is there. And when we see the activities of the residents of these dhams, then we will become bewildered. Oh, he's a Brajvasi, or, you know, or he's living in Mayapur. How is he or she acting like that? So we may become bewildered. So he said, better not go. He just remember Govinda and chant his names. But we go there and we see these places through the guidance of senior devotees who can appreciate that. They can see dham means Krishna is here, is present. He is performing these pastimes. So they can reveal to us. So that's why there's a many yatras. Radhanath Maharaj goes to various holy places, and you see around Govardhan these senior devotees when they are circumambulating. So we must go with them. Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Loknath Maharaj, all these senior Maharajes or senior devotees, when they are going, if we go with them, then they can reveal the pastimes. Otherwise, we wouldn't know what these places are. So same way, anything related to Krishna is Krishna. So now to understand all these things, in this purport, Prabhupada writes that there are these nine activities, nine processes of bhakti. So that's given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pad Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. So these nine activities, so if one does all nine, he can become perfect, or if one does even one perfectly, he can become fully Krishna conscious. So what are the examples? So of hearing, Shravana, Parikshit Maharaj, he heard about Krishna. And Kirtanam, Parikshit Maharaj heard from Shukdev Goswami. So Shukdev Goswami was perfect, and he chanted, he became more perfect. Chanted about Krishna, he chanted all Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. And then Smaranam is Prahlad Maharaj. He always remembered Krishna. Pad Sevanam is example is Lakshmi Devi. He massages the lotus feet of Lord. And then Archanam is worshipping. His example is Prithu Maharaj. Vandanam is prayers. Who offers perfect prayers is Akrura. Dasyam, who is the perfect servant, is Hanumanji. And then Sakhyam, Arjuna, he is exhibiting his, there it says, fraternizing. He is fraternizing with the Lord. And then Atmanivedanam, example is Bali Maharaj. He just gave everything, whatever he had, to Krishna. So even if one does one perfectly, or all nine, all example of a devotee who used to do all nine is Ambarish Maharaj. So he was a perfect devotee. So like that, these processes are very powerful. So they, when we chant, when we hear, so they create an impression on the mind. When we worship, when we do deity worship, we see the beautiful form of Lord. So there is a way actually to, in Bhagavatam it says, when we see the form of Lord very nicely, I have to improve my that skill of taking darshan, actually I'm lacking there. So there is a way. So it says ekaik shongani dhyanudariye. So you go from the lotus feet slowly upwards. So we see the lotus feet, meditate there, have a nice look, and then we go up to the calves of Krishna, then to to the thighs, then waist, then chest, then neck. So that verse in second canto says you go up until you reach the smile. Smile is the very, very sweet and beautiful. So what happens when we very nicely have darshan of each limb of Krishna, and of course a garland, necklace, crown, earrings, other paraphernalia. So when we take very nice darshan, so it says at each step your intelligence becomes purified. So when we take darshan, so this intelligence becomes very purified, and then during the day it becomes very easy to remember Krishna. So sometimes I take darshan so quickly I can't even remember what color dress was Krishna wearing. So then I try to go on internet and see the picture, Devi Darshan. So then at least the form can stay, we can try, attempt. So if we have a very good darshan, then Krishna will be there. So it's a samskar, it's like an impression. So we see so many things, hear so many things, they create impressions on our mind. So we have to fill ourselves with Krishna thoughts, Krishna sights, Krishna fragrances, like that. Then material things won't affect us. So this process of bhakti is so powerful, and mainly it's only bhakti which can attract Krishna. Sri Krishna Akarshani, that's one characteristic of pure devotional service. It attracts even the attraction of Krishna, who is Madan Mohan, one who even attracts Cupid. What attracts even him is bhakti. And a devotee is very dear to Krishna. So there are many transcendentalists who are trying to transcend the three modes of nature. There are various processes, there are jnanis, yogis. But Krishna is especially attracted to devotees. So Krishna is, that's why he's called Bhakta Vatsa. He's not called Jnani Vatsa, he's not called Yogi Vatsa. He is called Bhakta Vatsa, means he is especially inclined towards devotee. Why? Because devotee is inclined towards him. So devotee doesn't know anything except from Krishna, and Krishna doesn't know anything except devotee. So in Bhagavad Gita it says, Yoma Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamai Pashyati Tasyaham Na Pranashyami Sachame Na Pranashyati. So one who sees me in everything and everything in me, for him I am never lost and he is never lost to me. So like that. So other transcendentalists are also trying to attain some aspect of Supreme Absolute Truth. But their process, first of all, is very hard. If someone is trying to have a dry speculative process, trying to read Vedanta, and the yogi is trying to merge in Brahma Jyoti. So the process is actually very hard, and they are trying to depend on their own endeavor. So they sometimes become proud. So in Kumbh Mela, when we see there are thousands of people come, and there are these yogis without clothes. So everyone wants to have a dip at the confluence of these three rivers. So one time in news we were having a look. I think they were stopped to take a dip first, and they became very angry. Oh, we are the Babas from the Himalayas. How can you stop us? So like that. So they may have some powers, but they become proud. Because they are depending on their own endeavors rather than depending on Krishna. So that's why a devotee is so dear to Krishna, because he is depending like a child on Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna, it should be like a cry of a child. So then Mother Hara and Father Krishna, they just rush towards you. They become very attentive like that. So in second canto it says, one who is not doing bhakti, it's a very dangerous situation. So it's like, it is said, one who is not hearing about Krishna, his ears are like the ear holes, like the holes of where snakes live, of no use, you know. His tongue is like that, the tongue of a frog. And one who doesn't engage his or her hands in serving Krishna, so the hands are like of a dead man. And one who doesn't use his feet to walk towards Krishna's temple and who is not engaged in Krishna's service, his legs are like tree trunks. And then finally it says, tadashma saram hridayam batedam. Actually, one who chants the holy name and the hairs of body don't stand on end and tears doesn't come from his eyes, that means his heart is steel framed. So that's Mahaprabhu says, Nanuraga namnama karibhavda nija sarvashakshi tatrapita niyamita smarne nakala etadrishi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrisham ihajani nani nanuraga. So he says, I have no attachment for Krishna. He's saying, when will my hair stand on the body? When will my eyes, when will tears flow from my eyes? He's saying in that in a humble mood, but we know, as we know, when he used to cry, there used to be like a stream of tears coming from his eyes, like that. So he's setting an example. So he's setting an example of topmost devotion, like that. And he's also giving us this opportunity by his example. Acharya, but like he's set an example. It's not that he is learning the devotional. He used to chant also, and he used to chant a fixed number of rounds. That's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he used to count his rounds as a sadhaka, like that. So from one hand he used to chant, other hand he would count that, okay, this is my daily quota. Why is he doing that? He is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Devotee, because he is setting an example. Okay, you also please follow me. So Prabhupada has set the standard, chant minimum 16 rounds. So we should chant those rounds very nicely. Attend Mangalarti, chant the rounds. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, like that. So he is setting an example. So this, in our ignorance will be dispelled. So it is said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his complexion is golden and very glowing. So that glowing complexion dispels all the darkness of ignorance. And he has come with various associates and paraphernalia. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna Sangopa Sangastra Parshadam. So he has come with his Angas, Upangas, and the Astra means the weapons. So what are the weapons of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he brought? His weapons are his plenary associates, Nityananda Prabhu Advaita Acharya, and his devotees, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, and the holy name. So that's the weapon. So we have this weapon to fight against Maya at our disposal. It's always present. So you can chant every time, at every moment we can chant, and we can destroy the effects of Maya, like that. So here Bhishma Dev is also showing this example perfectly, that how by engaging in these devotional processes, by thinking about Krishna, his activities, his form, and by always chanting his name, we can attain perfection. So I would like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Bhimitame, one of the 12 Mahatmas,
Krishna is present as Parthasarathi because that was his.
He is remembering Gopi also.
Yes. So that was his Swarupa. Or there are 12 rasas. So there are, five primary rasas. So there are different devotees which relish these rasas. So like we say, okay, Madhurya rasa is the sweetest. So then why are there gopas? why are there servants? Everyone should be gopis. So there are examples for different. So that's why as Virya rasa, the chivalry. So Bhishma Dev is example of exhibiting that rasa with Krishna. He wanted to see Krishna in the form of Parthasarathi. So in Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned that topmost original form of God is Krishna, two-handed form. So then why do these other forms, why are these other forms present, Narasimha Dev, Vaman and so many forms? So the answer is because devotees want to see that form of Lord. So that's why he comes in that, because he is Bhaktavatsala, so he comes in that form. So like that. And all these forms they are Krishna, the expansion of Krishna, but they exhibit a particular feature because that particular devotee is attracted to that particular feature of Krishna. And it's perfect. That was my answer.
Is there a Vaikuntha planet where Parthasarathi exists? I don't think there is. As far as I understand, because
there's no fighting
in Vaikuntha.
Okay.
What do you think?
It's in the next report. The answer? The answer to that.
Okay.
This Madhav is pure devotee. If the Lord entered the spiritual realm in one of the Vaikuntha planets where the Lord in his eternal form or Parthasarathi predominates, over the unconditioned living beings who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. The love and affection which bind the Lord and the devotee are exhibited in the case of this matter.
Thank you. Anything else?
You can't be fighting me.
There's one feature that in Golok Vrindavan there are no demons, but then like Banu Maharaj once he was explaining, but there are rumors like, oh, this demon has come, so they would feel like that. So I guess maybe in that Vaikuntha, oh, Mahabharata is there, okay, let's fight. Pastime of Krishna. Krishna desired like that. Any other question? Yes, Mati. Devotee who does some sinful activity by just habit and by accident. So someone may do an activity by previous conditioning, by accident, but if he sticks to the process of devotional service, he doesn't leave his service, then he would soon become purified. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shanti nigacchati kaunteya pratijani name bhakta pranashati. That's the next verse, I think, for that. So he says, Krishna says, if he remains my bhakta, he keeps doing bhakti, he or she may have some sinful activity going on in the background, but if they stick to the bhakti process, then they would get purified. So that's the next level. If now one is doing some sinful activity, but he or she sticks to the service, so they become purified. Now this other case, they leave the service and they go back. So even for them, it's in 1.5.19, it says, Navai jatu katanchana vrajen mukunde sevangya. Basically it says, rasa grahojana. One who once tastes the nectar of Krishna consciousness, even if he or she falls down, but they actually cannot do anything but remember that taste. So even someone may have gone and they may not come back to devotional service in this lifetime, but they know, oh, that taste, you know, we cannot get anywhere else. So like that. So they may fall down, but eventually they would come later, this life or next life. And in some cases, yeah, they may not be very sincere. People come to Krishna consciousness because of different motives. And when that motive is fulfilled or not fulfilled, they may go back to their old habits. But even if they take little taste of Krishna consciousness, you know, somehow the soul actually remembers, oh, this is my original identity, they may eventually later come back if they are not offensive. So there are two things. One is sinful activity and one is being offensive. So if one is offensive, then actually it's very hard. They become covered so much. And then it's hard. So the verse I was reading from Ajamil's pastime, that actually says, so Ajamil had done so many sins, but he chanted Narayan in an offenseless mood. So he was sinful but not offensive. So like that. So these are two things. Is that all right? Okay, any last questions? Yes, Mati.
Actually, you said there are five primary rasas.
Yes.
And what are the remaining 12?
Remaining seven. Okay, let me try. I may not remember all. It's given in Nectar of Devotion. So one is the chivalry, then there is ghastliness, horror, and
humor.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Remember?
Yes.
I can't remember all, but it's given there. So seven secondary rasas.
Are there rasa?
These are also rasas, yes.
Even
ghastliness, horror, yes. Everything, janmadhyaya se yasa. Everything comes from Krishna. So these things also must come from Krishna. So Krishna enjoys. Actually, it is said in past time of Dhenuka, so these all the ass demon and other his friends, they were killed and they were throwing them on top of palm trees, and there was so much blood all around and it looked very beautiful. So that's very strange. Very strange statement. So Krishna enjoys, and when he was killing Jarasandha and other armies, sometimes they were like rivers of blood, and so Krishna enjoys everything. He doesn't only enjoy Rasa Leela, he enjoys other, so every aspect of creation. Okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda.